Is there a problem, officer?
Yes, you've gotten a noise complaint.
Hey, good afternoon. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia, which is situated on the unceded ancestral territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people, and we broadcast to the city that we call Vancouver, which is situated on unceded ancestral territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. My name is Jasper, and you're listening to Noise Complaint. Welcome back. Thanks for tuning into CITR. I am very excited today to be joined by my friend Merv XX Gotti, who is live in studio with me today. How are you doing, Merv?
Yo, what's up? I'm good. This is good to be here again.
It's good to be back. Where did you... Now, you've been traveling a lot lately. We have a lot to talk about today. We're just a quick recap for everyone. We're going to talk about Merv's new record, Guitar Songs EP, which came out March 1st. We're going to talk about a trip to South by Southwest and maybe a little update on another side project that Merv has in the works.
But, oh, yeah.
Let's talk about what's been going on lately. I know you've been traveling.
Yeah. I actually just got back to Canada last week. I was at South by Southwest with Guitar Songs, 5 shows in a week, and I'm pretty exhausted, but it was really good to be back. The last time I was there was with Samurai Champs, my hip-hop band, in 2018. So it was pretty trippy going back with this act, which is the complete opposite.
You were saying that you bumped into people that you knew who were like, oh, aren't you, you're that rapper, right?
Oh, dude, it was really funny because this was also basically post-COVID. So
yeah.
I used to go to all these showcase festivals and I would be like that hip-hop guy from the Asian hip-hop band. And then they were like, oh, you're back. Is Samurai Champs here?
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, it's just me and a guitar this time.
Yeah.
And a few of them came to the shows and the reaction was pretty hilarious.
Right, because they were not prepared for what they saw. They had an idea of what you
yeah.
do. Yeah,
yeah. It was really funny. Some of them even asked, like, "Are we going to see high kicks today? Are you going to throw water on anybody today?" But when it was just me and a guitar, the reaction was really positive. But yeah, it was really, really interesting to see like what people's reactions are when you quote unquote try to reinvent yourself in a way, you know.
Yeah, and not an easy thing to do for an artist, right? To do something like to do a hard left turn, as you've done. Although,
yeah.
You know, for context, in Samurai Champs, you provide the singing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's not a huge turn in that respect. But I think, the context is different. It's just you and a guitar. So what caused this? Like, how did you go from being one half of a hip-hop duo to being a solo guitar singer songwriter?
Man, I'm like actually still trying to piece it together, really, and a lot of it has to do with I've seen a lot of artists try to reinvent themselves or change their sound, and I feel like it sometimes doesn't work because they're aiming to do that or something, like, oh, I don't want people to see me this way, or I want people to see me this way. But this just felt like a natural progression because after we got back from Singapore, COVID happened like immediately. I couldn't get to band practice. All I had in my basement was this guitar. And I didn't really realize how much I didn't get a chance to process all the touring that Samurai Champs did. So
yeah.
All of these songs were basically just like when the body finally says, okay, you got space. It's actually time to process. So it didn't really feel like that hard of a left turn for me internally, but externally I'm seeing it might look like it.
Yeah. For you, it was just natural progression, growth. It's
yeah.
The right thing at the right. It was the thing you needed to do.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It just felt like natural, like, oh, you train hard and then after you just need an Epsom salt bath and
yeah.
a nap and that's just natural.
Candles.
Yeah, candles.
Cool. Well, we will talk about the album. I want to hear more about your trip. But for everyone listening at home, Merv XX Gotti is sitting in the studio with a guitar, and we got an amp set up. And maybe you want to do a song and then chat a little bit about stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. Well, let's do a little sound checky thing here. I'm just turning the amp on now. So give me a little guitar.
I think we're good.
Does that sound good to you?
I think so.
All right. So what are you gonna play for us?
This is the first song off the record. This one's called Jiu-Jitsu.
Cool. Take it away.
Can you light up my cigarette? I'm too stressed out today. Will I die or fill with regret? I'll think about that today. I'll pack my car and guitar, sing along to say you are in jiu-jitsu. I'll wake up late, roller skate, stay with Tim and Silver Lake in jiu-jitsu. Am I greedy cause I want more? I know there's no life better than yours. I ride with Kevin, I'm at the store. Baby knows best to love yours. Pack my car and guitar, sing along to tell you are in jiu-jitsu. I'll wake up late, roller skate, stay with Tim and Silver Lake in jiu-jitsu. Today I'm not in the mood, but tomorrow I'll come and roll and get over you. I'm a ticking time bomb, turn that into a song in jiu-jitsu. I'll wake up late, roller skate, stay with Tim and Silver Lake in jiu-jitsu. I'll camp alone, throw my phone, stay with Ronnie's home alone in jiu-jitsu. I'll take you out on a date and realize that I hate jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Just me clapping. But I'm sure everyone's clapping at home too. That's a great song.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, it's kind of dumb, but anytime I play it, I just say, hey, I'm a pretty literal person. This song's called Jiu-Jitsu because I do a lot of jiu-jitsu, and that's about it. But it's more so, I mean, we were just kind of talking about, like, bull market, bear market type stuff. I mean, my engineer's really into this kind of, like, market psychology stuff, too.
Okay.
And then the whole idea of, like, when it's a bear market, it's very similar to, like, seasonal depression or winter time or when things just aren't really going that well. And to me, that's what jiu-jitsu kind of represents, because it always kind of sucks, but kind of you just have to do what you can control, which is just try, keep training. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the lines in the song are pretty much just analogies that I've had to go through that are similar to jiu-jitsu, kind of like, yeah, when you just got to ride out a bear market kind of thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, artistic practice or, you know, something like jiu-jitsu, that kind of practice, you kind of find symmetries with the practice and whatever kind of internal state you're trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like, yeah.
You know, I engage with this art because it helps me achieve state X. It makes me calm, creative, whatever. So I totally get that. Do you find there's a pretty strong correlation between, like, that kind of physical, rigorous activity and discipline and, like, how you feel emotionally and creatively? Like, the better you take care of your body, the better your creative output is?
Yeah, I mean, in a really obvious sense, I think so. But also, before I ever did music, martial arts was actually, like, what I like to call, like, my layer zero, like, the first touching of art that I ever had as a child. And it wasn't even with jiu-jitsu, it was with Chinese martial arts.
Hmm.
But then even now, a lot of the things that maybe not directly in the songwriting, but in just living as a musician or an artist as a whole, I take a lot of lessons from martial arts.
Mm.
And one of them is, like, my kung fu teacher would say, you can rest while fighting. And what he meant is, like, if you know a limb is injured, just rest that and try to fight with the rest of the limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always take that on tour. Sometimes you can't sing a certain note, so you just have to put your energy into other parts of the song. Or sometimes, I think we all went through this, like during lockdowns, we couldn't tour, so what could you focus on? Songwriting. Mm. So a lot of the things in, at least like my life as a musician, actually I think more in terms of being as a martial artist.
Fascinating. That's good. That's good framing. Yeah. It sounds like it got you through a tough time, right? And got you creating again. And
Yeah. I mean, jiu-jitsu specifically, I remember my coach, I think he could kind of see I was getting frustrated that day, and it must have just been a bad day.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then he was like, you know, we all have to find a reason to be here. Like, we're going to be sore after this. We're really not doing this for any reason. We're sweaty. We're disgusting. We're not going to be professional fighters. But you have to find your reason for being here. And I think for me, it was just grappling with the whole idea of the ego. Do I have to be good at stuff, or can I just do it for the sake of doing it?
Mm.
And to me, that was really similar to music, because a lot of us, we do it because we love it. But eventually you're like, oh, I'm never going to be the next Drake, or I'm never going to be the next Taylor Swift or Beyonce or something.
Okay.
So we all need to find our own reason why we're still doing it.
Yes. Yes. And that's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so the record came out March 1st. Tell us about the record.
So the record's called Guitar Songs. Very literal. It's just guitar songs.
Yeah.
It's 6 songs. It came out on March 1st, and it's doing weirdly good. Like,
yeah,
it's got like 200,000 streams or something right now.
Whoa, that is very good.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What is that, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. I mean, it felt right to get something out before South by Southwest anyway, but I know it's a lot of building on top of foundations and stuff. Like, I know a lot of people that were fans of Trifecta,
yep,
or Samurai Champs. They just wanted to follow along with whatever else came afterwards. And yeah, it's just seemed to really be resonating, both on the industry side and just the general listener side.
So you tell us about making it. You who'd you work with?
My engineer, Walt, he's a really close friend. He's actually into a lot of the same philosophy and market psychology kind of stuff. And it's pretty interesting, at least like his idea of how this came about, because he does all this, he mixes and engineers all the Samurai Champ stuff too. So as soon as I started doing all this guitar stuff, I don't know, something in him just like lit up even. And it was just like a really intimate process, I think, because it wasn't a lot of hype or trying to figure out what sounded cool or in trend. A lot of this was just, it's just one guitar, maybe like another lead guitar through a tape player, and my voice and some ambient tracks from my friend Mike, and that was it. And it was really different than Samurai Champs. It gave Walt a chance to be like, okay, how do I make something out of the minimal amount of ingredients?
Yeah, cool. It's always nice to have those like long creative relationships.
Mm-hmm.
People who just get what you're trying to say.
Totally.
You know, in both contexts, like as a samurai champ and just as Merv XX Gotti making guitar songs.
Totally. I feel really lucky that way. I feel like everybody I do music now with, I've basically been friends with for over like 10 years or something now.
That's, I mean, in my experience, the hardest part of collaboration is finding the right people.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the real, because it's like, if the vibe's good in a studio setting, you're going to make something that feels good, too,
mm-hmm.
most of the time.
Most of the time,
you know
what
I mean?
Totally,
yeah.
Totally.
So, you made the record together. It has accrued 200,000 streams in 3 weeks, which is really something. Like,
yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it's almost at, like, the Samurai Champs number in, like, the span of so short. Hmm.
What do you credit that to? Like, what was different about, is it the music, or did you do something with the release that, like, how did it all unfold?
I mean, to me, it's probably because of three things. One, timing, I think, is like a big thing.
Right.
Especially in like the time that we're in right now, I think tons of me included, tons of people just feel generally uncertain and uncomfortable with things. And one really consistent piece of feedback that I've gotten, whether it's people listening to the demos or the album or even just at shows, I had this one friend that was like, I think you really, really hit the feeling of comfort. And I guess a lot of this, the writing of guitar songs, was just, I was just trying to comfort myself through like a weird time. And it seems like people have been finding comfort in it also, where people just are generally uncomfortable. A lot of it is also just, it's almost like going through puberty again, but with the wisdom of already going through puberty.
Oh, a second go?
Yeah, second puberty, just already went through the whole, you know, touring industry showcase festival fiasco with Samurai Champs. So I kind of like knew what worked, knew what didn't work, knew what's in my own like technique wheelhouse kind of thing.
I mean, I think they just call that wisdom,
yeah,
right?
That's probably
Lived experience.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Well, that all makes sense. Should we hear another song?
Yeah.
Yeah, you ready for that? What are you thinking?
This one's also on the record. This one's called Soju.
Yeah.
This one actually means the most to Walt and the whole band, like in Samurai Champs, because I don't know why, I just like couldn't really record this one. And then I don't even really remember this happening, but Walt just said, I started standing in a corner and then he thought I was maybe just practicing, but he felt like that was it. So he just pressed record and that ended up being the thing.
The take.
And I'm not a one take Drake kind of person. Like I'm a planner. I'm a 80-take Drake kind of
You're
person.
You're an 80-take comp?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's special.
Yeah. So Walt was like, wow, I was so happy that I was there to, like, witness that.
And he was rolling, too.
Yeah. Really, really
so
lucky.
So did you even know he was rolling when on the take?
No.
Oh, so maybe that's part of it, right?
I think that might have been.
When you don't know you're rolling, sometimes you do the best work, right?
Yeah, I think so. But also, like, my bandmates, like Savan, like the rapper in Samurai Champs, and like Luke, they were all in Singapore. So when we played South by Southwest in 2018, we ended up getting booked for like a Singaporean tour. And it was just like pretty life-changing for all of us because Savan's family like escaped the Cambodian genocide, and going to play that festival in Singapore was like his chance to see his home country for like the first time.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, and like this song Soju was the thing that came out after it. Like it just kind of fell out, so the whole band, like, this is their favorite song somehow.
Cool. All right, well, you ready?
Yeah, let's try this.
Okay, popping a capo on.
Capo on two.
All right.
Hanging in my ears, happy sadness hanging in the air. Like what we found, it feels so rare. You fell asleep, your hands in mine. Love to be with you like all the time. So come to Canada, I'll change your mind. God, why is this love so hard to find? Best I ever, never had. I love the way you talk about your dad. Be so much deep and now you're getting sad. Cause these Polaroids are all alive. Now the airport's coming near. In this backseat with you in my fears. Wish this taxi ride would last for years. Now I don't want anyone. I don't want to go now that I know. I don't to go now that I found you. I'd rather be with you.
That was Soju by Mervex X Gotti, live on CITR 11.9 FM. You're listening to Noise Complaint. We're going to be right back. We got to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya,
Anthas Yakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustayo. MRG Live presents Shred Kelly at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 29th, 2024, with special guest Hyenas. Hailing from the Canadian Rockies, Shred Kelly is a powerhouse band that seamlessly blends elements of alternative, folk, and rock, making them a mainstay in the Canadian music scene. With a reputation for dynamic live performances, you won't want to miss their Blurry Vision album release tour. Check out Shred Kelly at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 29th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com. Moon River, the collaborative new project for members of the Juno-nominated indie folk mainstays, The Wooden Sky and Linda Ortega, Kathleen Edwards, and Corb Lund's bands, could easily be described as a supergroup of sorts. Not just because of their collective talents, but because the music on their debut album, Volume 1, is simply super. Their knack for creating sonic worlds that are at once lightly trippy and wholly inviting means that as much as they draw on inspirations from decades past, they maintain a pleasing, distinctly out-of-time feel. Described as Buddy Holly meets krautrock, it's something that you need to hear to fully comprehend. And Vancouverites will have the chance on April 5th at Green Autobody at 1822 Pandora Street, alongside Brandon Wolf Scott and Jody Glenham. Advance tickets are on sale now via Eventbrite for $22.63. So get yours now and mark your calendar to see Moon River live on Friday, April 5th.
Hey, you are back. Tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Noise Complaint. We are broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. My name's Jasper. I'm hanging out with Merv XX Gotti, talking about music, playing some songs. We've heard Soju and Jiu-Jitsu so far, live in studio. I'm looking at your Bandcamp, Merv, and I'm liking the artwork. Can you tell me a little bit about who did the artwork for your Guitar Songs EP?
Yeah, the artwork's actually by a friend. She goes by Moonbeam, and it's kind of funny. So I'm from Saskatchewan originally, and I actually met this artist online. We had a whole bunch of the same friends from the Filipino community, and she's actually an artist that mints on Cardano, like the blockchain. And then so we got to know each other through that online scene. And then one day she realized, she was like, wait, aren't you also in Saskatchewan? Yeah, it was like such a trippy thing. And yeah, she made this piece. And this is like her really distinct style too.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was just like really, really happy the way everything turned out.
Is it available as an NFT?
Her other works are.
Yeah.
Her other works are. This one's just for me.
Just for you, one of one.
One of one, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, if you want to check it out and stream some of this music, head to where do you like to send people to stream your music?
I'll leave it to them. It's wherever people like, you know, it's everywhere. Just Merv XX Gotti on Bandcamp, Spotify, everything.
Merv XX Gotti. Check it out. The album came out March 1st and we're working through it. So, tell me about South by Southwest.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Cuz it's like a whole thing. I've never been. You've been twice now.
Yeah, twice now.
And you had very different experiences both times?
Yeah, both times really positive, but...
Good.
Yeah, yeah. It's... I know, I'm like, I feel really spoiled.
Yeah?
Well, it's just like during practice, my drummer was like, you know how rare it is for someone to get two different acts at a South By? And then he was like,
Good point.
Like, but then, I don't know, like, this is a relatively new thing. I don't really consider myself a guitar player even, but I don't know. He made this interesting point. He was like, I think you just have the nerve. Like, like when people say like, oh, that person has the audacity. And I think that might be it, partly. It was really different, though. When my band Samurai Champs went in 2018, it was like a hip-hop band. Like, it's like a party band, right? So everyone, I know the show is going well because everybody's just
partying,
hammered, not
having fun,
really listening, which is a good thing. You know, it means like they're feeling the vibe of the whole thing.
Yeah.
This time was mega different because this is like singer-songwriter type stuff. And I had to even catch myself. I was like, whoa. You guys are really listening.
So that was my question, is did they put you on in listening rooms, like on stages, or were you in between like bands, or like what was the curation like around you?
The programming was pretty good. Like, at least I think they intentionally put me where it was more so like listening time of day, or like earlier in the evening before things get too rowdy.
Yeah.
So it was real. I felt really lucky. I felt really perfectly placed there.
You had attentive audiences. You weren't fighting like the din.
Oh, it was almost too attentive.
Really?
Okay. Like this actually really, I'm still getting used to not being in a party band. So some of the stuff really threw me off. Like the first show, immediately, like one guy was just so locked in the whole time, and as soon as the set ended, he started walking towards me to talk, and then another dude immediately comes and cuts him off, and then he's like, have you heard of Oshiega? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm Canadian.
The festival, yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I'm like one of the programmers for it, and he sends like three emails on the spot in front of me, and I'm like, wow.
So you got booked for Oshiega?
Well, I don't know, like you never know how these emails go, but just like having a reaction like that, I was like, man, in a party band, everyone's just too drunk to email anything.
Well, yeah.
And then another of the shows, I was like looking out the corner of my eye and I saw a grown man start to cry.
Oh, wow.
Like break down. And I was like, oh, dude, I hope he didn't just like, this didn't remind him of a bad divorce or something.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just.
So you had some pretty immediate and positive responses.
Like, it felt really good. It just took some getting used to, I think.
I mean, that's great to hear, because the narrative I often hear out of South By is that people come and they do their music and they get largely ignored, or you know, or they're playing in like a parking lot, like a beer garden.
Did play in a parking lot though. It wouldn't be balanced without at least one.
Without a parking lot gig, yeah.
Well, I mean, it was still pretty interesting, but it was in the parking lot of this diner that supposedly has been open for 57 years, 24/7. They were like open on 9/11 even.
Oh my God. Did you do, because the thing that often happens is there's like unofficial shows happening too, right? Like people are just playing. Did you do some off program
stuff
too?
Oh yeah.
Was that the parking lot or was that?
That was one of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was really funny. It was like these two dudes, they literally drove a wooden stage from New York and they have been doing this every year for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like real commitment to the game.
Yeah. And so how did you line up the like off program stuff?
Just DMs.
Just DMs? Just like, hey, I'm gonna be there. Like I'm free on Wednesday.
Yeah. That was exactly it.
Yeah.
It was so strange though, because like the first time we went, it was similar. Like I think we did two officials and three unofficials with Samurai Champs, but I was sending emails after emails and following up. But then this time, similar, two officials, three unofficials, but I was just sending some messages. That was like the only one that I had to send a message to. Everything else just like came to me
kind
somehow.
Of arrived.
Yeah. I don't know, just felt way easier this time.
Again, you know, you know your way around a little bit, you know, you've been doing it for a while, so it should get easier.
You may be right. It may be wisdom. Maybe.
So overall, very positive experience.
Yeah, because I've had friends' bands say that too. You know, they go to South By and no one really expects to get anything out of it, because they just, it's like a childhood dream for a lot of people. They just want to go just to say that they went. But the first time we went, we got that Singaporean tour out of it. And like, it's too early to know, but it feels like something's going to come from it, hopefully, for this time.
Yeah, it is like, You're right. People do keep their expectations low.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a rite of passage at this point.
It is.
But,
totally.
You know, it's a noisy and saturated place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, sounds like I'm glad you reached people. And who knows what's going to happen now, right?
Yeah.
That's
we'll
great.
See. We'll see.
How are we doing for time? Pretty good. You want to do another song?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. I can play some new stuff. Not off this record.
Oh, like, is this like a debut? It'll be a radio debut, maybe,
yeah,
of a new song?
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty great. You're getting an exclusive.
Yeah.
What are we thinking?
So after this record fell out, another one immediately fell out.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. This is actually... The six-song EP is part of, like, a bigger record that I call Guitar Album 1. I know.
You really dug deep for the titles, hey?
Yeah, I'm such a math person. I'm obviously not.
It's like a file name.
I know. I should have just named it, like, Guitar Album 1 Final Final. This is the real
final.
Final
underscore final. Actually. Real.
But yeah, so like right after, it just felt like one of those momentum type things, and like Guitar Album 2 fell out immediately after.
That's cool. I mean, it keeps it consistent, and you can maybe get the same artist to do like another image for you.
Hopefully.
So then you have like a...
Yeah,
it's cool when artists do that.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Hopefully I come up with like a better name before it comes out.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter what we name this stuff, you know? It
yeah.
matters what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So what's the song called?
This one's called La Vida.
La Vida. Cool.
Got your tattoos, and I've got my songs. I love all your art. She draws all night long, and she's such a planner. But I feel what I feel, and if I was better, maybe then I would heal. Oh, Vida, La Vida, oh, won't you give me once more? Hasta la vista. Oh, what the hell is this for? What the hell is this for? Whoa, whoa. I can tell that you're nervous. Play with your hands, you'll be naked and famous all across the land. You go back to your hotel room and make a little soft core. Just a distraction, or could you be more? Oh, Vida, La Vida, oh, won't you give me once more? Like hasta la vida. Vista. Oh, what the hell is this for?
Vida live in studio. That was Merv XX Gotti. You got to tune to CITR Noise Complaint. I'm Jasper, and yeah, great song.
Sweet, thanks, man.
That's forthcoming.
Yeah, this is probably not going to be out like 2025. Long time.
Okay. Yeah. The rest of the record is written though.
Oh, it's written. It's actually done.
It's like recorded.
It's completely done.
So I guess you want to give this one some room to run, the first guitar songs one.
Yeah, I think so. I think that might be the quote-unquote wisdom.
Conventional wisdom?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just like, I mean, I think we're all kind of adjusting, especially like artists from our generation. We're kind of adjusting to this whole low attention span, single, 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 no albums, all TikTok kind of paradigm that we're in right now. Mm. So I'm really trying to like pace this stuff out and let it breathe and also kind of give myself time to like not just like learn how to navigate TikTok and whatever these things are, but just kind of take it in. Whereas I don't think I let myself do that with Samurai Champs, really. It's just like from thing to thing to thing nonstop.
Just hustle, hustle, hustle.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Did you ever watch that J. Cole homecoming documentary?
I did not.
That's one thing that it just really hit me. He would just say like every tour he would only be thinking of the next tour, and it was only way later that he was like, I regret not enjoying it,
not being just present.
Yeah.
It's hard though.
I know, because you want it to keep going, and it's almost like a scarcity mindset. You don't know, oh, is this gonna be the last one, or if I don't keep hustling it might not come back or something. But so this time at South By I really try to like, it was still a rush, but I still try to take it in.
Yeah,
barbecue like twice.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's hard to I think all of us would love to redo a lot of our lives.
Right?
Yeah. Just as a general.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I'm getting that chance right now, at least in this aspect.
That's special, cuz not a lot, second chances are rare. Yeah. In life.
Yeah.
And in art. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's nice enough just to have one crack at it as an artist. So having a second chance, you know, it sounds like you're doing it right. And like for yourself, I don't mean like in any other way. It just sounds like you're happy with how it's going. And
yeah, yeah. I think that's like my main compass this time. Does it feel mm-hmm. right to me? Not because of some like arbitrary thing.
Right. Some kind of external measure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I am aware of another project that you're involved in. Oh. And I'm not sure, I think you know what I'm talking about, but are you at liberty to tell the listening audience about your other project?
Oh yeah. I'm just happy to do this here, you know, with like a homie in like a homie's radio station.
So I've heard the other project too.
Mm-hmm.
So tell, should I stop? You want to tell people about what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So if anyone has heard of a band called Surf Dads,
I have.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, people seem to know of them from, you know, either the Canadian industry or like the UK European industry. So like the guitarist in that band, Gage, we actually grew up together. We were in a hardcore band together when we were in high school.
In Regina?
In Regina. Yeah. We grew up in the same hardcore scene. And he used to drum for me back when I would just play like small little shows in high school. And, you know, sometimes people split apart. Like, we still remained friends, but we kind of lost a bit of touch. Like, I went the hip hop route and he like kept going with the more indie rock kind of route. But then over this last little period, we were both just in our hometown and we just started catching up again. We were just talking about all the bands that we liked, that we grew up with, like Taking Back Sunday, that whole like 2000s emo era, which is weirdly having such a weird rollback right now.
It's having a moment.
Oh, yeah. And we thought this was just going to be maybe like a Taking Back Sunday tribute band, but this ended up being a full band. It's called Ghost Form. It's an emo band in the new kind of sense. So Gage from Surf Dads, Chris Demas from Surf Dads, they're in it, as well as our good friend Bronco from Blue Youth. And we have a 4-song EP all wrapped and ready to go. And we were just announced in the first wave of artists for Canadian Music Week this year.
Hey, CMW.
Yeah, I don't know how either, especially when we literally don't have one song out right now. We have 4 posts on Instagram and that's it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you know, festivals do, some festivals will take chances on debuting artists too, right?
Which is cool.
And I think you have to be in a position where like you're kind of a known quantity to the people making programming decisions,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I mean, I'm speculating here, but well, that's exciting. That's in, well, CMW, when is CMW?
This year, it's the first week of June.
Great.
Yeah.
CMW is a fun one. It's kind of like a South By,
it
but
is.
Like scaled down. Right?
Yeah. It's just big, a lot of spaghetti on the wall.
Lot of spaghetti. That's a funny way to put it. Yeah. A lot of spaghetti on the wall.
Yeah. You kind of do it just to do it and like just keep the expectations.
Anything
real
that
low.
Happens, is, any positive outcomes is just
it's a bonus.
Icing.
Yeah.
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 Do you know what your schedule is going to be like? Like how many shows you're doing and where? Is that too soon?
No, not yet. They haven't gotten back to us yet. But
Ghost Form, good name.
Ghost Form.
Oh, yeah. What's the plan for the music?
We're definitely going to release something
pre-CMW.
At least to just give people a taste, I think.
Cool. Have you got like your photographs done? And
oh, photos are done. Photos are done. A music video is done.
Oh, you've shot a video.
Oh yeah.
What you do for the video? What's the vibe? Can you talk about it yet?
I'm
is
a
it...
ghost.
Oh, it's narrative?
No. It's more so just like a, it's almost like a mix between Paranormal Activity and just
like the television show.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. Cool. I'm with you. Yeah.
That and like a typical, you know, post-hardcore emo performance type video, or just like playing in a basement, but I'm a ghost that has to find my way to the band. My good friend Rob White did it. He also came down with me to South By to like get a bunch of footage and stuff, but it's just been really fun because it's just, why are these dudes in their 30s starting an emo band of all things? But I think that's it. It's just fun. It's just been so fun to make fun songs.
I think that's all it has to be. Right? Fun?
Yeah.
I don't do enough things in my life just for the sake of fun. Having fun is a luxury, you know, and I think you should do it. If it's that's the end of the conversation, right? I'm having fun with my friends.
But some people seem to get that so young. I feel like I didn't learn that until like this year.
Well, you're still young. You got a lot of years ahead of you, you know? You learned it right on time. You learn this stuff when you're ready to, I guess.
Yeah. That's a very Confucius way to put it.
Well, Merv, we got a few minutes left. We got about 3.5 minutes left. Is that enough time to do another song?
Yeah.
Can you do one in 3.5 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
All right, what are you going to do?
Okay, you're going to hate this, but this is actually off of Guitar Album 3, which is,
I love it.
Which is written, but not done.
I love it.
Did you go see the new Dune?
Not yet.
Okay.
Is it about Dune?
This song's called Dune.
Okay.
It's about Dune.
When I get older, I'll collect water like I'm undone. And I'll use my voice to give us a choice. Boys, make some noise. I'm better without you. Happier without you. I hate going to school. I pray in the winter rise in the summer and ride shy aloof.
Was Dune by Merv XX Gotti live on CITR. Merv, we got 15 seconds left. That was beautiful. Any last words for the audience? Anywhere you want to send them to?
Yeah, if you want to check out my story, my music, it's Merv XX Gotti everywhere. Guitar Songs EP is out. And if you feel like you need a second chance, just keep doing it.
Those are wise words. Thanks for joining us,
Thanks,
Merv.
Dude.